You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. This is James Knowles, and this is RBLR Sun FC. Welcome. Hello. You know what to do. If you're new, welcome. Hi. Thanks for joining us. If you're returning and you still haven't hit that subscribe button, you should do that. You should also hit that like button because you know you like us. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I assume that everybody who tunes in also likes me. So yeah. I hope that that's the case anyway. And I'm happy to be here talking about the Sun, even if it's not the best result, because I think we might have a good rebound coming up. I'm hopeful. Real quick.
Yes, I am too. This was such a tough match, honestly. We played Spokane, who have been on a little bit of a hot streak. They got they had some trouble over at Carolina just before this, but they definitely continue to that hot streak. So we will get to that recap in a minute. But just to run down, we are talking about Spokane. We have an interview with Ashley Orcas, our favorite keeper. So we'll go to that interview. We got to talk to her earlier in the week. And then we will talk about that playoff push and look around the league and then look forward to the preview this weekend at Riverfront Stadium, Big Jim versus Dallas, a very hot Dallas. Yep. This is going to be a rough match. all right. So Spokane. Oh, wait, but first. I realized I said to hit the like button and subscribe button. I didn't say where or what. At RBLR Sun FC, at RBLR Sports on YouTube. Come see our beautiful faces. I literally just got my hair done. So you should definitely go onto the YouTube because I look phenomenal. Just saying. just to not break my arm. Pat myself on the back, but absolutely to do that. Yes. Because I did two doctor's appointments today in one day. I'm very proud of myself.
That's my
accomplishment today.
That's adulting.
Yeah. Thank you. Speaking of adulting, watching this game took some focus. I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of we have so much possession in this game. And I think we had possession for most of this match. And we still lost, which was very frustrating. We did lose 3-2 at Spokane. First off, their motto is "Let's go Spo."
Yeah.
And I hate it, but if I was a fan, I would love it probably because that's corny as shit. And I love that, but that's terrible. That's absolutely awful. the match starts off, I'm sorry. Lineups. I always have Tom to remind me of that. So hold on. Lineups. So up top, we have Flo and Goins. Right behind them, we have Nocello, Flint, and Haugen as our center mids. Of course, we have Giomona and Listro. And then as our far back line, we have Page, Hendricks, and Bissett. And of course, Orcas in goal.
Yep.
We love it. We do make some subs. We'll get to those, but we do have Hannah Keen comes in for Flu. Zaid comes in for Goins, and then Moore does eventually come in for Jordy. So we had a lot of momentum at the beginning of the game. Like I said, there was a lot. We had a lot of possession. I literally have a note somewhere in here. It's all possession, none of the goals.
Yeah.
it was very frustrating. But we had a lot of good things going on. We had Nocello came in with a great shot 2 minutes in. It hits the post. That in my opinion, it should have already been 1-0, quite frankly. That was so close. It was absolutely bonkers. Paige pops up. She gets a great header, a great ball into Giomona, into the center. She gets a header. Heisey catches it. Most of this game will come down to Hope Heisey just being honestly one of the best keepers in the USL Super League for sure.
And you know who agrees with that is a certain local goalkeeper as well, yes. Ashley Orcas.
Yes, for sure. Make sure you stay tuned because we do interview later, just to remind you. Nocello gets fouled in 12 minutes in. That's pretty early. I don't know. I really should make a list of when her earliest fouls are and then her latest fouls, and so we can just keep updating that list just for fun, just for shits and giggles. Spokane gets a goal in the 14th minute. We have no one on the back post. Everyone's pushed up front. There's a Spokane player just hanging out about diagonal from the back post and is able to just pop it right in. It's really unfortunate, honestly. Which then I noticed, by the way, is Ava, have we heard anything about Ava Tankersley?
In terms of her
injuries or
anything?
She wasn't on injured. So,
yeah.
But she wasn't on the list. She wasn't on the roster.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see, you know, coming up this weekend where that plays out.
Just hurt. No news. Oh, was she on the injured list and I missed it? Super producer Eureka? They didn't send. Okay. Well, they didn't send notes. All right. Sun front office.
So you didn't miss it. We know that.
Okay. So Sun front office, if you're listening, can you send those notes, please? And thank you. So we can inform people faster than the TV. Thank you. What was I gonna say? Cause Tom made a really funny joke. He said the joke is the tank in the shop.
Yeah.
Which apparently I love Ava. And I want her to be okay, but that was a funny joke, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then not a lot happens, honestly, for like the, oh, they don't send away game notes. Okay. So Sun front office, send us away game notes. You have to remember, even on the away games, you hit the rblr@gmail.com. We would love exactly. every game, all of the games. Thank you. I'm really feeling myself today. You can tell. So not a lot goes on from I don't have a lot of notes from the 16th minute to the 25th minute. Cause not a lot happens where we just have possession. We're not doing a lot with it. It almost kind of feels like it was the DC power game where we were DC, where we had the ball, not doing a lot with it. And, or when we do a lot with it, Hope Heisey is the savior of Spokane, which, wow, that would be a great TIFO. They should make that. Just Hope.
Don't give them any good ideas.
Hope Heisey is the savior of Spokane or something like that. That would be great. Oh, all right. So Spokane, if you're listening, I should hit up at Lizardsaurus in the USL Super League Discord. USL Super League channel of the USL Discord. There we go. So Spokane scores again. They're now up 2-0 by the 25th. They just score. It's so frustrating. Nobody's marking. 2 minutes later, thankfully this lights a fire under our butts. 2 minutes later, Nacello comes in, scores our first goal of the night. Thank goodness. We needed that. And I believe that really does light a fire under our butts for a little bit. It's just not enough. It's that same thing of like, maybe we're talking about last week, Tom and I, where it's like, we need the team, they're not really playing. They're playing more defensively. So we're not really rising to the challenge, so to speak, because we have the ball, we have the possession. We're just not, the shots we're making are getting saved or they're not quite on target. And Spokane, when they do get the ball, they're just being a lot more efficient with it.
Yeah. Efficiency is actually the perfect word, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we were on the same page for that one. Nice. It's like even here I have in my notes, it's not giving the as of the 28th minute, we have all of the possession, one of the goals, but it's not giving results right now.
Yeah, right.
Which is so frustrating. Because Ashley Orcus does make some great saves. The 28th minute, she makes a phenomenal save that keeps us from making it 3-1 right off the bat, right after Nacello's goal. But it's like we give a possession that quickly. It's so frustrating. I had some notes for the ref. Carly gets a yellow or a foul, I believe. Not a yellow, but she gets a foul. And I want the ref to just let the player, let Carly run the player over because she needs to hit the weight room. 2 minutes later, I think she gets another foul. And Carly's like, this is you can see it in her face where she's like, this is a contact sport, ref. Come on now. Yeah. And honestly, here's one of my notes that really hones on it. Spokane moves incredibly well as a unit. They, when they move, they do really move all together up and down the field. There's a lot, we do a lot more kind of moving around, which is just how we play. It's just how we are. But that was just something I noticed about Spokane, where they are very, very dead set in their positions. And they don't really, there's not as much fluctuation as we have, where we'll have some players kind of slip in, or it has Nacello, as we say, just as a player. She is her position is soccer player on the field.
Yeah, they have a lot of good organization. And I think that we saw that, unfortunately, in multiple occasions.
Yeah. But another thing we noticed, so that was about, right before the half, we noticed we were trying to figure out the topography of this stadium. I don't know if someone from Spokane can weigh in or leave a comment. Like and subscribe at RBLR Sports on YouTube, at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. But leave a comment if you can, please explain the topography of Spokane Stadium, because on one end, it is flat. There are cars on the field ground level. Okay, and then you go directly to the other side of the field. There is a hill. It is built into a hill. Please explain for the flat Florida people how this works, because this was absolutely mind-boggling. I will clearly have to make it out to a game in Spokane at some point to see this for myself, because we could not quite understand how it was just like the field is flat, but then it's built into a hill somehow. So that was one of our tangents. Weird statistic. We had 7 corner kicks in the first half. So again, lots of opportunities. Lots of saves.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this game really boils down to Spokane was just way more efficient when they had the ball. And they have Hope Heisey, who I guess has magical magnetic ball hands. She caught everything. It was infuriating at one point. To the point where Bissett was even about to throw hands with Katie Murphy at one point. She got a foul where Katie Murphy like kind of pulled on her and then was pulling on her shirt, I believe it was. And the ref was not giving it the proper yellow that it should have been, honestly, because it was a little egregious. And Bissett, I'm still vying that Bissett will have our first red card, quite frankly.
And then, of course, it would be the first in the whole league.
Yes, yes. For anyone who has not heard this on a past show, we still have not had red cards. So we're still not a legitimate league, unfortunately. As soon as we have a red card, we will be a legitimate sports league. I don't understand. The USL Championship had like 3 red cards in the first week. Granted, they have like 4 times the amount of teams, but still. It's a little bonkers.
Yeah.
I think even the NWSL had red cards in their first match week. It's bonkers. And I don't know if that's just because, like, no, because they've had straight reds, yeah, or even double yellows. We just haven't had 2 yellows. I don't know. Tom and I have a theory that the refs know, and no one wants to be the first one to give a red card for some reason. No one wants to be the first. We don't know why, if there's like bad juju behind it or something.
I will just say, I know that when we talked to Denise Schulte Brown at one point in the season in a post-game press conference, she said that one of the things that they wanted to work on in practice was how the Sun were the lowest in the league on some aggression metric. I don't remember exactly what it was, but some aggression metric that they were keeping tab on. And they said that they wanted to change that. So I don't know who is the lowest in the league on that specific metric at this point, but hopefully it's not us. And maybe it's just the whole league in general. The whole league is all at the same level and it's all very low.
Yeah, I know we at one point we definitely had the most yellow cards. So I don't know if we still do, but that's very funny. I would also think it would be funny if the team with the least amount of yellow cards somehow gets the first red card.
Yeah.
Against us, the team with the most yellow cards. We'll see. I think if we somehow manage to go the entire season without one, I will be flabbergasted. Mm. Honestly, we'll have to have some kind of like RBLR bet or something for there not being one. Like how they did the Hot Wings Challenge thing. Except not
Eureka,
that, 'cause I will die.
Eureka would not want to go through that again.
No, and I will actually die because I'm one of those people who's like, oh, no, the mild curry. Can you make it milder? it's bad. So around halftime, we're just past halftime, excuse me, around the 56th minute, we do make our first sub. We have Hannah Keen coming on for Flu, which I believe this is the earliest we've subbed Hannah Keen on, which is super awesome. I love that we can make that sub right at halftime. We can just have fresh legs coming right off the bat, in that position. Cause we know Hannah Keen can definitely score, from, was it two games ago, three games ago, something like that. And then we also subbed in Jade Moore for Jordy, which I don't think we've seen Jade Moore in a minute. I don't think she's been subbed in a game or two. So I was very happy to see her. Not a lot happens. Like, I have a couple of notes, but like we're two very well-matched teams. I know the score has Spokane is 2-1 at the moment, but we were just two really well-matched teams because you could tell that Spokane is really chasing that last playoff spot that Fort Lauderdale is currently in. I think they're sitting right at fifth. So they are really gunning for that playoff spot. They knew Carolina last week was going to be a rough, rough match, and it was. But they knew coming into Tampa Bay, obviously, that they had a shot because we have been pretty fluctuated on the table just like they have.
Yeah.
That was a slight tangent. Sorry. Later on, we do have we're so evenly matched. Again, my next notes are just we have Zaid. She comes in for Goins. And then a minute later, unfortunately, Spokane does get that third goal. Henny just can't catch Weinert. And she gets a great shot. Honestly, it was unfortunate. She just outran her. About 10 or so minutes later, Nacello draws a foul. Oh, wait, do I have my notes are wrong? We're still 3-1. Sorry. I had 3-2. Because right now is when we get that second goal. Nacello draws a foul in the box. Thank God. We love Nacello. Scores the goal, gets us a penalty. What more can you ask for? Tosh Flint takes that penalty and scores, brings us up to 3-2. It's like that's when we turn on in that 79th minute. Is when we really realize that, oh, we're still down by one, by the way. We need to go. We need to try and at least get some points. Nacello has another great shot. Heisey saves it. This was just Heisey having just a great freaking match. It was so frustrating, honestly.
A lot of highlights for her.
Say again?
A lot of highlights for Hope Heisey.
So many highlights. I would be mad if I didn't love Hope Heisey so much because she did give us a wave. So we love her.
There you go.
Yeah. Can't be mad at her. She gave us a wave. We had an indirect free kick that was just blocked. It was so frustrating. Hannah Keen gets an opportunity in the 84th that I wish she had just been a tad more selfish and just shot from when she was. She took an extra step and then an extra pass. And then the person she passed it to was not, I believe it was who was on at that point was Moore, I believe it was, doesn't have a chance to really get a good shot on it. We miss it. It's like we turned it up way too late. And anytime we actually made it to our side of the field, they packed the box. They really made sure that they had a person on every single Sun player. And that definitely that back line where we were kind of, or back that back post where we were clearly missing one twice. That was kind of the match.
Yep. Frustrating one from front to back. I think that we probably, especially like you noted, we had those couple of good chances in the first like minute or two when we hit the bar, especially. I guess looking back, those were a couple of chances that we ultimately really should have taken advantage of because Spokane didn't have as many chances, I think, as we did overall. And they didn't need them in the end. They were just a lot more clinical with what they got.
Yeah, it was really frustrating. Hold on, what were the... I should have pulled up the stats for this match. But I believe we definitely had more shots. Like, their shots on target was definitely lower. but they got three goals out of it. So what does it matter? They got 3 points.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a frustrating one. Dallas is also going to be frustrating, but for this one, my player of the match, Tom's player of the match, James's player of the match, it's Nocello.
Yeah.
You get a goal, you draw a PK. You gave us 2 goals, basically. One goal and an indirect one, so I'll take it. Thank you very much. Yeah. RBLR player of the match. That works. There we go. Thank you, super producer Eureka, for that one.
She's doing really well recently in terms of her movement to try and make everything a lot more direct. And I think that in addition to playing a lot more direct when she has the ball at her feet, she's also probably been encouraged, I can only imagine based on what we're seeing, to take a lot more shots. You can take a lot more shots, and she's getting a lot more out of it. That's obviously helping us every single game. And I think that having Nocello play this role has been, or play this role the way that she has been now, it's really paying great dividends. It's unfortunate that we didn't have the defensive side in this one, but yeah, we didn't react well enough to losing the ball in the midfield for 2 of those goals. So that is the way that it will play out if you let it go. And all of her hard work, unfortunately, came to nothing there.
Yeah. I hope she feels good about it, because she put her heart out on the field. She left it all out there, for sure. Yep. I couldn't have asked anything more from Nocello, for sure. And a lot of our players had a good match. And it was just the back line was still a little Swiss cheesy.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm hoping maybe we can do a little better against Dallas, but we'll get to that in a minute. First, we are going to talk to Ashley Orcas. She gave us a little bit of her time, and we wanted to get to know her. So we're going to go to that right now. Okay, and here we go. This is that interview we promised with, of course, the world's best keeper and our favorite Sun keeper, Ashley Orcas. Hi, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have James here to help me out today. Thank you so much, James. Ashley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're pretty good. James, how you doing?
Yep, also doing well. Happy to be talking to you face-to-face over the screen as opposed to yelling behind you like we usually are.
Yeah.
I feel like we have some good conversations, though, in games, though. You guys know my scholar school of addiction, so that's good.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the questions. We can start off with that, actually. Is the sour Skittles, is that like an every game day routine? Is that to keep a sugar rush or just like keep some sour in your attitude?
I don't really need any help with the sour and the attitude. I feel like I have enough sass, like, as it is. But it's like the sour candy helps with like anxiety. And so it like we pass it around to a couple people on our team. And it just kind of happened. That was the game that Kaylin started against Fort Lauderdale, and I was just chilling on the bench, and I'm like sour skittling, like eating them all up. And I'm just like, oh, this is fun. And then I'm like, oh, and they can find myself in the game. But it's like, I do a better job of keeping them hidden. I just wasn't prepared that game. So
yeah, no, I don't think anyone was, I just put it plainly. I think you were expecting to stay in training kit for that game.
Yeah, sure, I sure was. Yeah. I brought my jersey out that game, to be fair. I would have brought it. But no, it was good. I usually stick them in my glove so they're not as visible. But yeah, no, I love me some sour Skittles for sure.
Okay. So do they hide in your glove the whole game?
No. So I have an extra pair.
Okay, all right.
I get like one of the like small little sleeves, and I just like stick it right in the palm. And usually, I don't ever have to switch gloves because our field's turf, and it's not going to be like waterlogged. Okay. So yeah, take them and try and sneak them. So, if I go get water, I have sour Skittles in my hands.
All right, so now everyone can be looking for that. Anytime she goes to get water, look for those little sour Skittles.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which actually takes me into my next question. We've noticed a couple of different pairs of gloves, from match to match. And obviously you have a glove sponsor.
I do.
Five star?
Gold star.
Gold star. I was close. Yeah. I knew it had a star.
Yeah.
Do they send you new gloves every match? Do you like new gloves every match? Like what's your glove situation?
So I'm about to geek out for a second. So bear with me.
Okay.
gloves are like super scientific. There's different cuts, there's different like depths of millimeters of foam. It's like different backhands, different grips, all of the above. I got super fortunate. Gold Star is kind of based out of Jacksonville, actually. They contacted me in between Iceland and Tampa and were like, hey, we're looking to pick up athletes. Like, would you want to go? And so I get a certain amount of gloves every 3 months. And it's like up to me which gloves I want. So if I wear gloves, like straight out of the packaging, just rip the plastic on the palm off, there's an oil in the foam. And so if it's wet, I'm not going to catch anything. So I kind of have to prep gloves in advance. So it's like, if you ever watch goalkeepers tear off the like plastic on their gloves, it's painful. Like it's, you have to get every single thing. It's like stitched in. But so I do that and I'll rotate like pair to pair. The different pairs, I never have two of the same glove, like cut wise. And so the ones that I've had in the games that y'all have seen behind the bench, it's usually like either a red or a purple pair, with like stars all over the back. And then I try my best to have like a white pair, which are like training glove, super thick, a little bit easier for catching harder shots. But I like a minimal glove when I play.
All right. Cool.
You didn't know that much behind it, did you?
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I'm sad Tom is not here for this interview because he would have loved to. He coaches girls lacrosse, but he is also a keeper.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He does it for soccer and lacrosse. He loves both. We were rewatching the match last night and we were talking about it. He was like, oh, we can get into like glove density and like the fingers or something like that. I can't remember even because it was so technical.
Yes. No, he and I have to have a conversation because you can also put like latex inserts on the inside.
Yeah. He was saying, do you wrap your fingers or stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't wrap them, but my gloves have like silicone built into the fingertips. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'll have to give him a pair. That's kind of sick. He'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, he would love that. Yeah. To use that for games. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Noted.
James, let's throw it over to you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get into a couple of things because obviously we do spend the most amount of time close to you in the game and we get to see, you know, your influence on the game. So I guess I really wanted to know when it got down to setting up the defensive line, does that come down to you or Brooke Hendricks? Is it kind of a combination of both? And then, you know, when things break apart, how do you guys react? What is the leadership there is part of the question.
So basically where teams kind of focus on the backbone of the team. So you go like goalkeeper and then center backs and then all the way up. So I work probably the closest with Henny and Viv. They're also two of my best friends off the field, which is super nice. Henny and I room together on away trips, so that helped with the chemistry. But it's, I kind of do my best to give them as much information as they need in the moment based on who's around them, where they need to slide, like which gaps need to be closed. And if we're playing out of the back, I try and help both of them of like, oh, hey, Paige is open or Dory's open or find Nicello. And so that's kind of the communication piece. But we, the three of us especially, have a really good dynamic to where we see something, we just say it in our group. And like, if you see us in a little huddle, we're all like talking about it. And we're all super responsive to each other, which is really nice. There's been a couple times where like, they have almost scored on me. And instead of like other goalkeepers being like upset about it, you just kind of laugh it off. It is serious and it's very serious, but also like the more work that they do and the better off they do, the less work I have to do. And the less work I have to do, the better for the team. So, like, yes, I love making saves, but at the same time, it's best for the team for me not to touch the ball. I'm going to try not to touch the ball. So that's kind of it. When things break down, usually it's one of those where we try and patch it for the next, like, 30 seconds to a minute until there's either a water break or halftime or a corner kick where we can kind of discuss it and talk about it. But at this level, it's super nice because people usually know the mistakes that they've made or the decisions that they could have made better. And if there's like, if it's something regarding like a passing window, we just shout it out the moment. So we, the three of us especially, but also including our outside backs, Dory and Paige as well, we all have such a good relationship and such a good like culture and chemistry in our back line. And it's nice because if every single one of us knows that we all have each other's back. So it's a really good setup. I'm super fortunate to have them in front of me.
Yeah, the defensive unit has really helped out a lot recently, and I think that we've all seen the results of that. As a quick side note, you know, the coaching staff obviously has to give instructions each game that are relevant to the team that they're playing. How much do your instructions change from game to game? Because as a keeper, I would assume that your tactical stuff isn't necessarily the most different, but maybe you're looking for different outlets or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So it honestly all depends on who we're playing and which teams try and force us outside, which teams try and force us inside, which like lines we need to break. But it also depends on who we're playing against in regards to like the individuals and like our opponents. So we're on Y Scout a lot. It's a joke among our team that we all like, we eat, sleep, and breathe Y Scout. We're fortunate through our like Players Association that we get it for free and we have access to it all the time. And so we do a lot of scouting and a lot of film on that. Once you kind of pick up on players' individual tendencies, it's so much easier to break a whole unit and a whole team down.
Gotcha. Well, just as a request, if you guys could put in for RBLR Sports to get access to Y Scout, then I think Eureka, of all people, our producer, would be happy. But I would certainly love to have some time breaking down everything that they've got there, too.
Yeah, no, it's Y Scout's crazy. There's so much stuff on it. There's stuff from when I was in like college. Like, yeah, it's yes.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll turn it back over to you, Liz.
So actually I had a little hope with some of these questions, because I'm not as familiar with Iceland, but we actually had a heat wave member who was stationed over there for a little while. Okay, so he helped me out. So in 2023, I can't even pronounce this. It's the FHL.
I can't pronounce it either.
There's more consonants than there should be in that. Fjarbige. I can't even.
Yeah. That's what I ever got.
So they named you their player of their season for your first season. Like that's a little bit crazy. How did you get that honor so quickly, I guess?
Iceland is a bit of a blur, truthfully. I was really fortunate to have a fantastic head coach. We were like in a little fjord of like, I don't know, maybe 400 or 500 people on like the opposite side of Iceland as Reykjavik, the capital.
Wow.
And so it was like super secluded. There was like a grocery store and like a bakery and like that was it. There's like nothing. It was like, it was drop dead gorgeous. It was crazy. The scenery was beautiful. But no, the club that I played for was like the biggest thing that the fjord had going on. So everybody showed up to games, everybody supported. And our head coach there was fantastic. I love him. He and I will still text. I kind of came through a spell of kind of losing confidence and like my ability as a player, but also in like various different positions that I had been put in like post college. And so he kind of like, I tell him that he like healed, like air quotes, but not air quotes, because he actually did. But he like allowed me to grow and heal from that time of my life. So I just feel like I was put in a really good position to succeed and to do well. I did face quite a bit of shots, but they're in the top league now, so they're crushing it.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was your favorite experience like off the pitch in Iceland? And apparently you're not allowed to say the Blue Lagoon because that's too easy.
Yeah, it's too touristy. I wasn't going to say that one, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
I ended up going to Diamond Beach, like the Black Sand Beach, and that was absolutely gorgeous. It was like, they gave us a little like, it was a Toyota Yaris. And so that was like our rental car.
Wow, that's like a tiny little car. I know that car. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Imagine me, like I'm 5'11".
Oh my God. Yeah.
I literally like, it was horrible, but it was like, it was nice. And they didn't have to provide us with a car and they did. It was great. But no, I'm like literally like in like a sardine in a can, like just trying to drive along the cliff sides of Iceland. It was an experience, but it was so cool and it's so beautiful. But that was, I'd probably go the Diamond Beach or like the Black Sand Beach.
Okay, very cool. And how do you feel like the weather really differs? It's got to be a lot cooler there, I assume.
I like went from Iceland over here, yeah, which was like cold, rainy, windy, like freezing, and then I'm like in Tampa where it's like the complete opposite. So like everything that we deal with here, I was like on the complete opposite side all the way in Iceland. So it was, but I loved it. I like don't love the heat as much, but it was nice. Definitely an adjustment.
Yeah, I don't think anyone actually likes being outside when it's 85, 90 degrees out and the sun is like right over top of you. But oh,
especially not
so many other things that make Tampa Bay worth it.
100%, yes. Like you guys.
Yes, and we, the Heat Wave, absolutely loves our Ashley Orcas, and we love to cheer her on.
I love you guys. It's crazy when I hear you guys chant my name. Like, that's I've made it moments, and it's just, it's so cool. You guys are
It's because, and I mean, I've said this in past podcasts and other interviews, but we, I myself especially, has been waiting for women's soccer to come to Tampa Bay for at least since 2020 when the Rowdies like teased us with it. And then, of course, COVID happened. Yes, we were supposed to have, it wasn't said what division they were going for, but they were like, no, we're going to have a Rowdies women's team. And I even had a Twitter that said, like, it was, do the Rowdies have a women's team yet?
Yeah.
And every day it would just tweet no. But apparently, when we interviewed Amanda Vandevort, she had like seen this Twitter apparently, and she was like, "Soon, I promise."
No way, Liz. That's, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. James, let's turn it back over to you.
Well, this is a two-part question related to the Super League overall, and then back towards yourself. You have joined what is a brand new league, so there's we assumed that there would be a lot of variation, but there's actually generally six teams that are all in the same place, and then two teams that are not quite at the same level. So, I guess I just wanted to ask you in relation to that. Who are the keepers around the Super League that you admire for their skill or whatever it is, maybe their leadership, something like that? And then what advice would you give yourself at the start of the season now that you're this far into it?
Okay. I might need to get you to remind me about the second part after I answer the first part. So
no problem.
Fair warning with that. It's tough because the top six teams, we're all kind of rocking and rolling for the playoff push. Obviously hope that Spokane's been playing super well. She made a good save against us the other day. Probably I would have to say either Madison White at Dallas or Cosette at Fort Lauderdale. Don't hate me for saying Fort Lauderdale.
But no, I mean, we tied them how many times for a reason?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then we beat them. So, no, I think I like to say game recognizes game. Those are the two that I would probably say, are the two top ones in our league. And then I did remember the second part question. I did better than I thought I was going to. I would probably tell myself to not get caught up in the things that I can't control. And I would probably tell myself that there's going to be some stuff that happens that you don't really understand why, but it's part of a bigger picture and you'll find out soon enough and just keep working because you never really know when your time's going to come.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that's probably good advice for the vast majority of people.
Yes. Thank you.
Liz, do you want to close it out with our last one there?
Sure. So we have noticed, and a lot of the players do, but I have noticed, especially like, cause they showed it on the cameras at the Spokane game. You are so great when it comes to interacting with the fans.
Yes,
it was really cute. You were talking to the Spokane fans. It was great.
Was it the kids?
Yes. They were so happy to see you. And it's really awesome to see that, especially like after a really tough loss. Yeah. That was unfortunate. And like, it was honestly, that Spokane game was just us head to head the whole time. It was, that could have been anyone's game.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see, it's great to see, your interaction with the fans and how much, even away fans, how much they love to talk to us and how much the home fans, I know I see tons of kids run up and they're always like really excited because they want to talk to you. So I just, I wanted to say thank you for interacting with the fans, with the Heat Wave, especially, and just what a class act you've been here.
I appreciate it. I hope you guys know that you guys and the fans are the reason why we all, and myself included, do what we do. Without you guys, there wouldn't be a Super League. There wouldn't be a team in Tampa. Like, we're very fortunate. We love you guys so much more than y'all realize.
Okay. All right.
We're happy to be there.
Yes, and thank you so much
for your feels. But yeah, no, we're you guys a lot.
I feel like that happens a lot in these interviews, honestly. We just get really in our feels because we just love soccer so much.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Feel your feels.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you got to run off to your team meeting. Thank you for giving us your time. I repeated that. That's fine. We'll cut that out. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
See you.
And we're back. Thank you again to Ashley for giving us some of her time. We really appreciate it. That was really fun. And thank you, James, for helping with that today.
Yeah, I was thinking while we were going through that, you had a lot of good questions lined up there, and we only have 15 minutes anyway, so it would be really difficult. But I want to do a bit of a longer interview with her that's just focused on her time in Iceland, because you think about it, like, Florida is a very interesting place to live. She didn't grow up here, but she grew up, I think, in the South, so relatively close by. Then you think about Iceland, it's an extremely different climate. It's very isolated as well in terms of traveling. You have to either fly or take a boat if you want to get anywhere, probably flying. And then you think about where she was living on the East Coast, even she more
was,
isolated.
Yeah, she was in Alabama.
No, in Iceland, I'm sorry. In Iceland, she was even more isolated from the main population centers. So, yeah, I would like to get a separate interview with her specifically related to her time in Iceland at some point down the road, because I can only imagine that being a very fascinating experience for somebody who anybody probably who grew up in the U.S. that isn't from, say, Alaska.
I know. I think for that one, too, that would be fun if we could get we have a Heatwave member, Brian, who was stationed over there and helped me out with a lot of those questions. So I bet he would be super fun to get in on that interview, too.
Yeah.
His soccer knowledge and his Iceland knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
So around the league, we did have some other games this past weekend. We had Brooklyn playing DC and losing. Oh my Lord. They lost their coach. They have an interim. They are just, I think it's been said on the USL, in the USL Discord and the Super League channel, but the fall of Brooklyn should be studied.
Yeah.
Cause it's bonkers. Like, no offense, but like, you're losing to a team that's already been eliminated from the playoffs. Like, come on, man. That's not good. I feel bad for Brooklyn. Like, they gotta feel like the rowdies right now.
Yeah, but it does help us a lot in the playoff race. So I'll take that.
Yes, very much so. And then Fluted went away to Carolina, and they lost 5-2. Thanks, Carolina. We can count on them. They're pretty solidly in first place. I don't think no one's really taken them out of first place, I don't think. And then we had Dallas play Lexington, which 3-1, kind of surprising. I didn't think Lexington would be able to get a goal on them. Kind of makes me feel a little bit better about this weekend, because we do play Dallas coming up this weekend at Riverfront Stadium, Big Jim Stadium. Make sure you get your tickets. They are 50% off, by the way, for this match and the next home match on like the 24th. If you go to like the Sun Instagram, it's there. But also if you join the Heatwave Discord, there's lots of free tickets because people can't go because they have lives outside of soccer or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea what that's like. So we are playing Dallas. They are definitely the favorites for second place. They did just turn Lexington into glue, 3-1. And the week before that, they did tie with Fort Lauderdale. So a lot of kind of mixed results. More you'd think they'd be kind of doing a little bit better against Fort Lauderdale if they're doing so well against Lexington. Where are we at with the table right now?
Well, while you're looking that up, I will also bring up that Dallas has had one other interesting result recently, which was a 3-0 loss to Spokane. Now, I think our game was a little bit closer at the very least. So I think that we talked about the transitive property on the Rowdy Show the other day. So, yeah, maybe there's some transitive property here whereby we are better than Dallas and we can beat them at home, especially. I'm hopeful.
That would be nice. Yeah. Yes, they're sitting pretty solidly in second with 40 points at the moment. We have 36 in third, which is amazing. Like I said, by the way, as long as we finish in third is great because I think that means we get to host a playoff game, right?
We would only get to host if we ended up playing the fourth seed.
That's right. Okay. My bad. I understand how playoffs work. Absolutely. I am sports person. So as I say, they're presenting pretty solidly in second. They're about 4 points ahead of us. We do have a little bit easier of a schedule than they do. Especially since their last game is the season, on that last day when we're not playing, unfortunately. And I think Fort Lauderdale isn't playing on that last match day. There's only two teams. Yeah. Two matches. That's what I mean. Sorry. Getting my math all mixed up. There's only two matches on that very last match day of, the regular season. And they are playing Carolina. So that's rough. Although very good for us. They are playing, they play us again this weekend. They play DC. Should be an easier match for them. They play DC the week after. However, it is a 7-day turnaround. So I don't know. Maybe if they're tired, they might tie them. That's also great. Drop some points for us. Then they play Fort Lauderdale, which they tied. They'll have tied about a month before. So we'll see what form Fort Lauderdale's in. They are sitting right below us in fourth at the moment, with just 2 points under us. So one win, like this weekend, and if we don't, get some kind of results, they may, overlap us, unfortunately. And we would drop to fourth as long as Brooklyn continues to suck.
Right.
Exactly. Although we have Brooklyn and Spokane. Oh, it's like a whole thing for like Brooklyn and Spokane, right? It's the same reason that Fort Lauderdale was above us. It's like, because it's the head-to-head thing.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that works, but I think Spokane would certainly jump us for now. They have beat us the last two games, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're on a great, they've lost. The one match that they've lost was against Carolina in the last five, so if you're going to lose a match, it's going to be Carolina. Let's be real.
Yeah.
They have clinched playoffs. Yes. So makes me a little more hopeful for this weekend. We'll see. They don't have Lexi Misimo anymore, which might, explain why they've slowed down just a little bit. Not a ton. Like I said, they still won 3-1 against Lexington. And they tied Fluted. So we'll see. I have high hopes. Obviously, I think we're going to win, but I always think we're going to win. And I don't know where I've been. I've been way off in the last couple of matches, honestly. So I have no idea where we are on, points for correct, score predictions. But I'm going to say a 2-1 win. Super producer Eureka, you should let us know what you were thinking. And then James, what are you thinking?
You know what? I think this one is going to be a draw, and I'm going to go with 1-1. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Okay. Okay. And Eureka says 2-2, and I should have asked Tom, but he is also in a flu coma. So he probably is like, what game are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came over to watch the game, but he brought a bottle of water. He didn't touch it the whole time. Like, just an unopened bottle of water. The man was like, he was very like, I am focused on game. That's it. And then back to sleep.
Yeah.
So that was looking ahead at Dallas. Let's just look at playoffs real quick. Right now, we are sitting in third. Like I said, Fluted is sitting in fourth with 34. We are third with 36 points. Dallas is second with 40. And Carolina, they're in first with 46 points. Whatever. No big deal. We have Brooklyn and Spokane are tied for points, but because of like weird head-to-head things that I don't entirely understand because they're confusing, Brooklyn is technically ahead because I think that they've won more games against people. I'm not going to try to explain it like I understand it because I don't.
It is an opaque system.
Yeah. If someone understands it and can put it into like readable English, please leave a comment. That would be great. Or let us know. Shoot us a message. Like I said, we post comments and retractions of things like we did last week. I believe that was Hannah King's mom who posted last week after I looked it up, by the way. That's why she knew Hannah's injury very well.
Makes sense. That only makes sense.
Yeah. So, like I said, that gives us a great preview into what that's going to look like. I'm very excited. It's going to be great. Make sure you get your tickets because tickets are 50% off, like I said. Or if you join the Heatwave Discord, we're at the Heatwave on Instagram. Go find us. Get free tickets. We love new people in our section.
Yep.
Let's go the sun. Alrighty. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.